It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I try not to let that get to my head too much, though. You know, everything always comes to the team first. As much as the label of wide receiver one is definitely helpful for me, but I'm still the same guy. I still want to make sure I'm working on my craft, make sure I'm being a lot more vocal in the wide receiver room. Not to the point where, because I'm wide receiver one now, I got to talk more. It's more so just trying to help the younger guys learn the things that I wish I knew when I first got there, helping them pick up on little things so they have a smooth transition to when they become veterans, because time flies. Like, I felt like I was a freshman not too long ago. Freshman walk on, and now they have me as a wide receiver one.
Welcome back to Unrivaled. It's the voice of Devon Vele.
That was
wide receiver number one for the
sexy voice. He sounded like he was like
pretty confident,
recording,
right?
An album or something. Like,
I think we're going to hear a lot.
Quality
from,
was nice.
I think we're going to hear a lot from Devon Vele this season. I'm certain that that the Utes and Ute fans should probably be excited about the idea of big plays. And if you're going to have a big play with a guy, it's going to be Devon Vele going up for that 50-50 ball. Being that tall, being able to jump as high as he is and athletic as he is, they're going to rely on him quite a bit. And it's a break from what I think we've seen normally. Joining us on the program right now, she's our Ute insider for KSLSports.com, also hosts the Saturday show right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Michelle Bodkin joining us on the show. What's up, Michelle?
Oh, not much. Just kind of running around and getting the feel for some things that are going on.
And what is going on? Because we were talking about how media observation at Utah is not a thing.
Yep.
You don't get to really watch any practices. There used to be a thing where guys would just let you. The media observation was at the end when they were like hitting the pads, the offensive lines pushing the sleds, and you go, did you get what you wanted to see there?
Right.
But even then, sometimes maybe there's somebody who's not there, and then they go, hey, so why is so-and-so not running with the ones in the pads, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever. So what are you able to kind of gather so far from camp? What are you hearing? What are the things that are going on up at the University of Utah?
Yeah, so can't see anything, haven't seen anything, but I feel like the vibes are really good. Last week it was kind of very like positive, pumped up, happy to be here, happy to be back. We're excited about what we got. Monday was a little more down to business. Still very good vibes, very positive vibes, but Coach Whittingham kind of came out and said that, you know, they're kind of in the thick of it now. The honeymoon phase, so to speak, has worn off, and it's just pure business and stuff that they have to grind through, but everybody's working hard and making progress and doing the things that they need to do, they feel like they need to do in order to have the kind of season that people are projecting they could have. So that's been really exciting. And then you just kind of hear it in the players' voices too. Like, they just seem to know that something's up, that something's about to happen is kind of the impression I get. You know, obviously you have to play the games and we'll see what happens. But as far as controlling what they can control, I think Utah's doing everything they can to do that. It's just going to be dependent on, you know, what kind of work and what kind of teams everybody else puts forth.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you go through that first week of camp, you're all excited to get there and everyone's worked hard and you finally, this is it. And then all of a sudden you go through a week and you go, oh, we have another week of practice. And, like, there's no game. There's nothing to look for. You get no reward, right? You go to practice, you grind it out, and there's no reward. And then you come back and go, oh, well, we have to grind it out again because there's no game this week. I mean, they have scrimmages, which help. And I'm sure these coaches, because personally, I think the hardest thing for these teams, Utah, BYU, with a veteran team, is to not burn them out, you know. Mm-hmm. And so some of these players, you got to be careful with that. One of the things I'm curious about, because Florida, I believe, is a big game. Mm-hmm. Right? I think this is a massive game for Utah. And they got to come out. They got to be hitting on all cylinders. Likely that Lander Barton is going to start. Is that a fair assumption?
I think he very well could start.
Will he be able to come out of the gates firing on all cylinders, or does he play like a freshman and there's an adjustment period, or kind of what's your vibe on Lander, but also on Mo Diabate, who is also a, you know, he's going to be playing more than likely. It feels like those two guys are going to be the starters, but they've never started for Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Mo's coming back from an injury, and Lander's coming back from prom, you know, so
you can use that. Hey, you can use that. Write it down. Yeah. Give Scott credit.
But the point is, you know, where do you think they are? I guess I'm trying. Right. That to me, that vibe is one that I'm curious about.
You know what? I feel like Utah is the kind of team, Kyle Whittingham, Morgan Scully, they've been doing this a long time. They've had to replace a lot of great players in the past. If they feel like those are their two best options to start, then they're good. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to make mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, right? But I think there's going to be a confidence level that they can overall get the job done and learn quickly on the fly. And I mean, like, the nice thing having a guy like Diabate is he has played a lot of reps. He was Florida's second leading tackler last year, and he was expected to probably be their leading tackler this year if he hadn't transferred to Utah. So, you know, this isn't a guy that doesn't know what he's doing. He does have to, you know, familiarize himself with how Utah does things. But one thing I did notice last week getting to talk with Morgan Scully is he seemed to perk up and get really excited talking about Diabate and Clayton Easbell, who is another transfer, but on the safety end of it. He seems, like I said, he didn't go into a whole lot, but there just was kind of this little, like, oh, these guys, I like talking about these guys. Yeah. I like what they bring to the room. So I think there's some excitement with some of those transfers that have come in. And then, of course, Lander is just a phenomenal talent. And he comes from a family that's been there, done that. They know what it takes to be at this level and be really good at this level. And so I don't think or feel for a minute that Lander's coming in unprepared or coming off the bus from prom, you know,
right.
like he's been work. Actually, I got to talk with both Cody and Jackson Barton this summer, and they both mentioned that, you know, they've been working with Lander and kind of helping to prepare him and let him know what he's getting into.
Yeah.
So,
which is what a great resource to.
Right?
So Paul, their dad, and played with me at Utah. So he's a third string quarterback, and their mom was a phenomenal two sport athlete. And Paul actually asked me, said, he goes, I want your opinion. So I'm dating this volleyball player. Should I date her or should I not? I told him not to. Right?
You're like,
what do I know? So they end up getting married and have these amazing kids and the whole thing.
What?
Don't ask me about.
No, don't ask.
Don't
you're
ask
like,
me.
Hey, I wouldn't date her, dude. She jumps higher than you do. It's not a good start already.
And I've been reminded of that often.
You should be.
Yeah,
you probably deserve that.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
There's nothing like that. There's nothing to.
What am I supposed to say?
Scott Mitchell almost screwed up a whole Utah legacy.
Wow.
I know. New story. Hey, that's your new headline right there. How Scott Mitchell almost simultaneously brought his talents to Utah, but also almost ruined an entire family legacy. Or should I marry this All-American volleyball player, Scott? Or should I marry this short lady over here? She works in the student union flipping burgers. You're like, go for the burger lady. Always going to be a nice meal on the table. He goes, good thing he didn't listen to you, right?
Yeah.
You know, my father-in-law did that. Nah, you shouldn't marry my daughter.
Your father-in-law told you that about his daughter?
I'm just... Probably.
He probably said, he's yeah.
It's not going to work out. I'll tell you what we didn't have. Really, really amazingly what? Athletic kids yet. I mean, no, some of them are athletic. I don't think we're going to have Barton family genes, but yeah. There you go.
You got it right.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Michelle, as we have talked about, this team has embraced kind of something that they're not used to, which is, you know, being that number one team in the Pac-12, having the target on their back, all those things. What's Kyle Whittingham's kind of progression been just in the last few years that has gotten to the point where he feels comfortable with that? And what's been the progression of Andy Ludwig feeling okay to be like, I'm going to incorporate more big plays into an offense that I usually didn't incorporate big plays into?
Right. From Whittingham's standpoint, the whole point of being a coach is to build a program up, right? So at some point, the hope is you're no longer going to be the underdog. You're no longer going to be that team that everybody doubts. And I think Kyle has finally gone to that point. And so, you know, there just are little things that kind of you have to transition the way you speak and the way you prep for game time. You look back at that Stanford game, I think it was 2013, where they were number five coming into Rice-Eccles Stadium. Utah was struggling, and, you know, his halftime speech, I believe, was, this is no longer a David and Goliath story. This is two giants going head-to-head. You know, it's just kind of bringing that pep and that confidence that, like, you know what, we belong here. We can go toe-to-toe with these people, some of these bigger people. And, you know, I mean, going tit-for-tat against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl is like another, you know, that has to be a confidence builder. Like, you belong here. You guys deserve to be here every bit as much as these guys do. And so, you know, he did kind of talk about it, it's something that Utah just has to accept now. Like they're not being looked at as the underdog. It's what it is. All eyes are on them. Because they did what they were supposed to the year before. And, you know, so it's just kind of something, you get used to it, you go about your business, and you just kind of, you're aware of it, but, like, you don't let it rule everything you do, if that makes sense. And I think from Andy Ludwig's standpoint, right, again, it's all about progression and building. He's found the kind of quarterbacks he wants. He has the stable of running backs he wants. He has this tight end position that he's incorporated and turned into. The last thing he has to really kind of figure out how to do and incorporate is get the wide receivers in. And so, you know, what better year than when everything else kind of feels super stable than to try and incorporate the last piece of that puzzle? I think it's a safe bet. I think he can build a lead with the foundation that he and Utah are comfortable with. And see how it goes with the wide receivers. And if they do great, then we're going to see more of that as well.
You know, when we were at Pac-12 Media Day, that question was brought up to the players, Clark Phillips and Cam Rising and Coach Whittingham. And I remember asking the very same question a year earlier to Mario Cristobal, saying, you have the target on your back. You're the team that everyone's gunning for. How do you prepare and how do you handle that? And he got very defensive with me and is like, we don't have a target on our back. We're not that team. We're not. And I was like, ooh, it was really surprising. You could tell that it was bothering him that
people
were recognizing the success they had.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
And I was very impressed, and it actually, it kind of gave me a measure of comfort. Say, you know, that Utah just, like you said, they just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
They realize, they know that they're there. They know that they're now the hunted, and they know that that requires a different, you know, that you got to show up. You know, you can't take a moment for granted if you're really going to go where I think this team thinks they want to go, and that's the college football playoffs. So I really liked that, you know, because you mentioned that when we came in here, this whole demeanor of this team, and there's just a good sense of things. But that last piece of the offense,
mm-hmm.
right, the wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
Devon Bailey, they feel like he's the guy. Solomon Enos is probably on the other side. But who else is there? Who do you think will emerge, either from guys that are already there, Money Park, Jalen Dixon, or some of the new young guys that have come in really this fall?
Yeah. Now I'm trying to remember. I think it was Solomon Enos said, oh, it was a tweet yesterday. Solomon Enos basically said that Jalen Dixon's being slept on. So it sounds like maybe he's back to what he was in 2018, 2019 when he was kind of on fire. And right. That's great news for Utah. Devon Bailey yesterday was talking about how much work and how much growth Money Parks has made, that he does not look like the same player he was last year when he came in as a freshman, just much more comfortable, knows what's up, knows what he needs to do, understands the plays and can go out and do them. He's not relying on his athleticism anymore. So that's a guy that I think potentially can make the rotation and do really well. And then Devon Bailey was also talking about some of those freshmen, Teo Johnson and Sydney Mbanasor, talking about like just what athletic freaks they are. And so, you know, it's his job. He feels like it's his job to make sure that they're comfortable with the playbook so that, again, they're not necessarily relying solely on their talent, but they can go out with confidence because they understand the playbook and the plays as well.
Would you say that Utah has pretty good depth at wide receiver?
I think they
more
feel,
than I think people think.
I think they feel very good about the people that they have in that room. I think guys that have been there for a while have really grown up and stepped up and decided to be leaders and are motivated to make a lasting impression. And then I think they've gone out and they've recruited the kind of guys that they eventually want to kind of phase out and replace. And again, kind of take that next step in the offense with.
You think Britton Covey was kind of the leader of everything? He was so eloquent. He was so, you know, was wise beyond his age. And it's kind of like he's gone now. And then all of a sudden it gives some of these younger players an opportunity to step forward and kind of take that leadership role.
Yeah, I think you kind of get a little more confident to maybe move into that spot a little when you don't feel like you're necessary. And not that I think anybody's scared of Bryn or that Bryn would take it as, oh, you're stepping on my turf. But like, there's just like a line of respect that an unspoken line of respect that I think most people kind of follow. And so, you know, he's gone. Someone has to pick up that torch. And I think Solomon Enos and Devon Bailey have been doing a really good job with that.
Michelle Botkin, KSLSports.com. So you can read the byline if you want to stay in touch with what's going on with Utah at their camp as much as they'll allow us to. But any of those media availabilities they have with their players and stuff, we've been right there too. And so you can go catch a lot of that sound. And Michelle's doing a lot of those interviews, and we're catching all that sound from up at practice when we're allowed to. So thanks for hanging out, Michelle. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Hey, Davis Vision Summer LASIK Sale going on right now. Get rid of those contacts and glasses, guys. Save $1,000. Davis Vision offers routine eye exams, full-service optical center with those prescription glasses, frames, contacts, a full line of sunglasses at DavisVisionMD.com. DavisVisionMD.com. We'll come back. We've got our college football roundup around the corner. I'm excited for next hour, too. We've got a little bit of truth or false. True or false. I keep wanting to call it
dare,
truth or dare.
Alex, yes.
Truth or dare, we haven't been able to clear with HR yet. We've been trying to get something going, but we haven't been able to do it. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Unravel continues 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.